Denmark is the smallest of the Scandinavian countries by area, but its lands, Jutland, the Danish islands, and Scania, are much more fertile than those of its neighbors. Ancient trade contacts with Europe made the country wealthier and more powerful. Under the influence of neighboring Germany, classical European feudalism took shape in Denmark. Royal power became concentrated in the hands of a single dynasty. Civil wars occurred less frequently than in Norway or Sweden, and they were far less destructive. But how did all this turn medieval Denmark into the strongest kingdom in Scandinavia? In 1095, the Danes elected Erik I as their new king after his brother's death. During his reign, he became famous for improving the laws, supporting the church, and caring for common people. Chroniclers referred to him as Eyagod, meaning always good. He went down in history as Erik the Good. His greatest achievement was the creation of the archbishopric in Lund, which made the Danish church independent from the German archbishops and strengthened the kingdom's authority. That same year, the king embarked on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The journey proved too harsh. Erik the Good died on the way. His only legitimate son was still a child, so the Danish nobles decided to choose a new king from among the sons of Svein Estridsson. One of them, also named Svein, was so eager to become king that he set out for the popular assembly in terrible weather. He fell gravely ill on the way, but continued his journey. Svein never reached the popular assembly. He died en route. For this, he earned his epithet Tronkraver, the heir to the throne. The nobles ultimately chose Niels, the youngest brother of King Erik, as the new monarch in 1104. King Niels' reign was relatively peaceful, but he had too many heirs, making a war for the crown inevitable. One of the contenders was Canute, the son of Erik the Good. He enjoyed great popular support. Canute ruled southern Jutland, where he became Denmark's first Duke of Southern Jutland. Hence his title, Lavard, which in Danish translates to Lord. In 1129, Canute proclaimed himself ruler of the Wends, thereby asserting claims over the neighboring lands of the Pelabian Slavs. His influence grew, and with it his danger to Niels's son, Magnus the Strong, who regarded Canute Lavard as his main rival for the throne. Thus, in 1131, when Canute came to Zealand, Magnus organized an ambush and killed him. For the Danish prince, this act proved a fatal mistake. Canute's half-brothers, born out of wedlock, Erik Emune and Harald Kesha, rose in rebellion in Scania. They declared themselves kings and seized the province. The conflict dragged on for 3 years, with the Danish islands changing hands repeatedly, exhausting both sides. Eventually, Harald Kesha betrayed his brother and joined King Niels. Erik Emune then turned to his German allies and hired a force of knightly cavalry. With their support, he won a decisive victory at the Battle of Fotevik. Magnus the Strong was killed in battle, while Niels and Harald fled. But not for long. In southern Jutland, the locals killed Niels in revenge for the death of their duke, Canute Lavard. Harald hid in Jutland for some time, but was eventually captured and executed along with his sons. The new king of Denmark became Erik Emune. Erik II did not remain on the throne for long. He launched several campaigns into Norway, Sweden, and the island of Rügen, but none were particularly successful. During his reign, he became notorious for his tyranny and cruelty. In 1136, the people of Zealand rebelled against him. The following year, during a Danish assembly, Erik II was killed. After his death, his nephew, Erik III, was proclaimed the new king. Erik III was known for his prudence, generosity, and kindness, which earned him the nickname Lamb. Nonetheless, some Danish nobles mistook his gentleness for weakness. In 1137, Olaf Haraldsson, son of Harald Kesha, rose against Eric III. 2 years later, Olaf captured Scania and proclaimed himself king. This marked the beginning of a long war for control of the Danish islands. The situation repeated that of the previous civil war. Neither side could hold the islands securely. Only in 1143 did Eric the Lamb prevail, defeating Olaf at the Battle of Tuttebro and consolidating his authority over all of Denmark. For several years, the kingdom enjoyed relative peace, but in 1146, due to illness, Eric III abdicated the throne, opening the way for a new struggle for power. The contenders were Sweyn Gratha, son of King Eric II, and Canute Magnusson, grandson of King Nils. Thus began another civil war. The rivals raided each other's lands, plundered territories, and clashed in numerous small battles. Neither side gained a decisive advantage. In 1152, Sweyn III sought support from the German Emperor Frederick Barbarossa. With his mediation, a temporary peace was reached. Canute Magnusson recognized Sweyn's authority and received Zealand as a fief. But 2 years later, Sweyn attempted to kill Canute, and the civil war flared up once more. To strengthen his position, Canute Magnusson allied with the Duke of Southern Jutland, Valdemar, son of the slain Canute Lavard. The war dragged on for 3 more years until the rivals agreed to reconcile. Yet Sweyn Gratha plotted treachery. He invited his opponents to a banquet and ambushed them. Canute was killed, and Valdemar barely escaped with his life. The event went down in history as the Blood Feast of Roskilde. Raising an army, Valdemar marched against Sweyn, drove him out of Zealand, overtook him, and defeated him at Gratha Heath. Sweyn was slain while trying to flee the battlefield. After this victory, the Danes proclaimed Valdemar king. He was named after his great-grandfather, the Kievan prince Volodymyr Monomach, and entered Danish history as Valdemar the Great, a title honoring his many achievements. Valdemar initiated broad legislative reforms, codifying local laws across the regions. Under his son's rule, these were later compiled into 3 law codes, the Jutland Law, the Zealand Law, and the Scanian Law. Valdemar also solidified the feudal system in Denmark. He divided the realm into districts called herreds and granted them to his warriors, the so-called herredmen, who, in return, served as heavily armed cavalry in the royal army. It was during his reign that stone castles began to appear in Denmark. Among them, a fortress in Copenhagen, which would later become the capital. He also restored and reinforced the ancient fortifications of Denevirke on the southern border, protecting the realm from the German threat. Valdemar the Great gained fame not only through reforms, but also through conquests. In 1169, Danish forces captured the Principality of Rügen, inhabited by pagan Slavs. The island was annexed to Denmark, and its population was converted to Christianity. After Valdemar's death, the crown passed to his eldest son, Canute VI, who ruled for 20 years. In 1184, Boguslaw I, Duke of Pomerania, attempted to retake Rügen. The Danish fleet crushed his forces near the island, destroying all Pomeranian ships. The next year, the Danes invaded Pomerania and captured its main fortresses. Finally, in 1185, Boguslaw I swore fealty to the Danish king, and Canute VI added the title King of the Wends to his name. Valdemar's younger son, Valdemar the Victorious, became Duke of Southern Jutland in 1187. Even before his coronation, he had distinguished himself as a skilled commander. In 1189, he conquered the small county of Dithmarschen and annexed it to his lands. In 1197, he led a campaign into Estonian territories, marking the beginning of Denmark's long conquest of Estland, Estonia. Returning to Denmark, he faced a new adversary, Adolf III, Count of Holstein. In 1201, their armies met at the Battle of Stellau, where the Danes triumphed. Adolf fled to Hamburg, but the city was quickly besieged, and he surrendered. Holstein was annexed to Denmark. When Canute VI died childless in 1202, Valdemar the Victorious became king. He continued the conquest of Estonia, and several of his campaigns were successful. By 1219, he had subjugated the region, establishing the Duchy of Estonia and constructing numerous castles and fortresses there. That same year, the Danish army camped near a fortress at Lindenis. At night, the Estonians launched a surprise attack, nearly routing the Danes. But the Danes held firm, turned the tide, and won the battle. According to legend, it was during this battle that a red flag with a white cross fell from the sky, the Dannebrog, future flag of Denmark, which inspired the troops to victory. Nonetheless, historians note that the first reliable mentions of this flag appear only in the 14th century. Returning to Denmark, Valdemar II ruled peacefully for a time. Yet in 1223, an unexpected event occurred. While hunting on a small island, the king and his son were attacked by Count Henry of Schwerin, who captured the Danish monarch and demanded a ransom of 45,000 marks of silver. The Danes had to raise the sum, a process that took 3 years, during which the king remained in captivity. While the king was absent, Adolf IV, son of the Count of Holstein, reclaimed his ancestral lands. Only at Christmas 1225 did King Valdemar the Victorious finally return home. He gathered his army and in 1226 invaded Holstein, hoping to recover the lost territories. The campaign dragged on until the summer of 1227 due to lengthy sieges, by which time Adolf IV had brought in German allies. The two armies met at the Battle of Bornhøvet. The fierce fight lasted all day. The Danes held their ground and even began to gain the upper hand. Yet, when the Knights of Dithmarschen switched sides and joined the Germans, the Danish army suffered a crushing defeat. The king narrowly escaped, while many nobles were taken prisoner. Valdemar II was forced to make peace. He renounced Holstein, Pomerania, and temporarily even Estonia. The royal treasury was empty, as funds went toward ransoming the captured. Afterward, the once great commander managed to rule for another 14 years in relative peace. The reign of his son, Erik IV, began with conflicts against his brothers over the crown. Constant warfare left him short of funds, so he introduced new taxes, among them a plow tax. For this, the Danes nicknamed him Plowpenny, Plovpenning. In 1250, Erik defeated his brother Abel, Duke of Southern Jutland. Yet, during a meeting with him, one of Abel's knights murdered the king, allowing Abel to seize the throne. To refill the depleted treasury, King Abel I decided to personally oversee tax collection. In 1252, he set out to collect tribute from the Frisians in Jutland, but they attacked his camp at night and killed him. The crown then passed to the youngest son of Valdemar the Victorious, Christopher I. Christopher's reign was also turbulent. Abel's son sought to reclaim power, so to avoid open conflict, the king granted them the Duchy of Southern Jutland. At the same time, he clashed with the church. In 1259, Christopher imprisoned a powerful bishop, prompting Jaromar II of Rügen, a relative of the bishop, to rise in revolt. The Rügians landed on Zealand and ravaged the island. Christopher prepared to march against them, but died suddenly. According to rumor, he was poisoned by monks seeking revenge for his quarrel with the church. The throne then passed to the young Erik V, though real power lay with his mother, Queen Margaret Sumbiria. When royal forces under her nominal command landed in Zealand, Jaromar II defeated them at the Battle of Næstved. He then moved his army to Scania, pillaging that province as well. The Rügians might have continued their campaign, but soon after, Jaromar was killed by his mistress, forcing his troops to withdraw to their island. Meanwhile, Duke Erik Abelson attempted to seize the crown. He allied with the Count of Holstein and launched an attack against the king. In 1261, he defeated the royal army at the Battle of Lloeda, capturing the queen and young Eric V. Even so, the Danish nobility did not support the duke. Realizing he would never be crowned, he agreed to exchange the king's freedom for certain estates, a favorable marriage, and a monetary ransom. Eric V, however, proved an unsuccessful ruler. He earned the nickname Clipping, meaning the clipped, for minting debased coinage. Financial troubles plagued his reign, most notably during his conflict with Sweden, known as the 6,000 Mark War. In 1275, Sweden was torn by war between the sons of Birger Jarl. Eric V sent Danish knights as mercenaries to aid Duke Magnus Ladulas, who won the war but refused to pay them, claiming they had already profited through plunder. Outraged, Eric declared war on Sweden. In 1277, the Danes invaded Småland, capturing it briefly, but within a year, the Swedes recaptured the province. Soon after, Eric himself led Danish forces into Västergötland, seizing several towns. Yet, when the royal treasury again ran dry, the king was forced to withdraw his army from Götaland before the Swedes could engage him. In 1278, the two sides finally concluded a peace treaty. According to it, Eric V received compensation of 4,000 marks, but the actual expenses of the war were much greater. Denmark had lost more money than it had gained. Because of his poor leadership, Eric V was in constant conflict with the nobility. In 1282, under pressure from the Danish feudal lords, he agreed to establish the Danehof, an assembly of Danish nobles. The Danehof limited royal authority, granted privileges to the feudal lords, and even forbade the king from starting a war without the consent of the Danish nobility. This became the first case in Danish history when the monarch's power was legally restricted. Even such concessions failed to make Eric V popular among the Danes. In 1286, during a hunting trip, he was murdered by a group of conspirators led by the royal marshal Stig Anderson. Afterward, the conspirators were expelled from the kingdom and found refuge in Norway. The Norwegians carried out 4 military campaigns, during which they ravaged the coasts and captured Danish towns. The confrontation dragged on for nearly 7 years and ended only in 1296, when Denmark ceded lands in northern Holland to Norway. For later generations, this war became known as the War of the Outlaws, since it began because of the nobles exiled from Denmark. The successors of Eric V, his sons, were also poor rulers of Denmark. Eric VI had made enemies among the bishops even in his youth. In 1299, he was excommunicated from the church and had to pay an enormous ransom of 40,000 marks. To gather this sum, the king plunged into debt. In 1302, Eric captured the German trading city of Rostock, drawing Denmark into a protracted conflict with the German lords, known in history as the North German Margraves War. He never achieved victory, but he did amass enormous debts. These grew so large that he was forced to mortgage his own lands. When Eric VI died in 1319, the war was still ongoing. The throne passed to his younger brother, Christopher II. According to legend, before his death, Eric VI begged that anyone but Christopher succeed him, since the latter had already plotted against him before. Nevertheless, the Danish nobles decided that the weak and spineless Christopher would be a convenient and obedient ruler for them. Yet the new king quickly quarreled with all the nobility. In 1325, Pomeranian forces seized the island of Rügen from Denmark. The Danes were unwilling to tolerate such a king, so they rose in rebellion against him. Christopher II fled the country, taking the royal treasury with him. Denmark was left without a king and sank deep into debt. The creditors began demanding land in place of money. The greatest advantage was gained by Count Gerhard III of Holstein, whom the Danes disdainfully called the Bald Count. In 1326, his troops seized Jutland, taking advantage of the situation, and Gerhard III declared it his possession by right of debt collection. Soon afterward, he began distributing other Danish lands to his allies. In 1329, Christopher returned to Denmark and gained support in Zealand. He tried to reclaim Jutland from Gerhard, but suffering a crushing defeat at the battle in Dannevirke, the Count's troops routed the Danes and Christopher hid on the island of Lolland, where he died the following year. After his death, Denmark remained without a legitimate king for 8 years. Actual power in the country passed to Count Gerhard III of Holstein. To consolidate his control, he placed his nephew, Valdemar, the young Duke of Schleswig, on the Danish throne. Chronicles even refer to him as Valdemar III, though he was never formally crowned. To the Danes, Gerhard III forever remained a symbol of cruel tyranny. He ruthlessly plundered Jutland, and the lands he could not devastate, he simply sold. Thus, in 1332, he sold Scania to Sweden. Within a few years, piece by piece, he had sold off nearly all of Denmark. Then, Jutland rose in rebellion against the Germans. One of the leaders of the uprising was a simple knight, Niels Ebbesen, who later became a national hero. In 1340, when Count Gerhard once again came to plunder Jutland, Niels and his men snuck into his quarters by night and killed the hated Bald Count. Prince Valdemar, son of Christopher II, had grown up in Germany. In 1340, he gained support in Jutland, where he was proclaimed King of Denmark, Valdemar IV. The new monarch faced a long struggle to restore the kingdom. For his successes, he earned the poetic epithet Otterdag, meaning New Day, a symbol of Denmark's new beginning. At first, Valdemar Otterdag planned to reconquer Zealand. There, Holstein, Norwegian, and Swedish lords had entrenched themselves, those to whom Gerhard III had once sold the land. But there were too many enemies, so the king resorted to cunning. In 1341, he suddenly struck at Holstein's territories, forcing the Holsteiners to hastily abandon Zealand. The Danes immediately sent troops to the island and besieged the castle of Kalundborg, where the Norwegians were stationed. Valdemar was close to taking the fortress when the Holsteiners, led by Count Henry II the Iron, unexpectedly returned to the island. Then the king turned to deception once again. He concluded a truce, left his troops on the island, and returned himself to Jutland. In 1342, war flared up anew. Valdemar again attacked Holstein, and once again the Holsteiners abandoned Zealand. This time, the Danes launched a surprise attack on the Swedish garrison and defeated it in the Battle of Bildebro. Afterward, they captured Copenhagen. Soon, Valdemar IV defeated Count Henry II the Iron and forced him to renounce his claims to Zealand. In addition, Valdemar reached an agreement with the Norwegians. They handed over their castles on Zealand in exchange for his recognition of their rights to Holland, which in any case did not belong to him at the time. Since the war had begun over the siege of Kalundborg Castle, historians later called it the Kalundborg War. Afterward, Valdemar focused on reclaiming other Danish islands. By 1347, most of them had been retaken. Yet, funds for the war were scarce, so the king sold Estonia to the Teutonic Order for 20,000 marks, a territory of little value to him. While recovering the islands, Valdemar made Zealand the center of his kingdom. He moved his residence to Vordingborg and stationed his strongest troops on the island. It was during his reign that the Danish flag, whose legendary origin was tied to the Battle of Lindenis, became widely popular. The only two islands still held by the Germans were Funen and Als. They lay too close to Germany and were too well fortified for Valdemar to take them easily. In 1357, several Jutland nobles, financed from Holstein, rose in rebellion against him. Valdemar defeated them when they arrived on Funen, but afterward, he refused to leave the island. He bribed the German garrison at Nyborg Castle and replaced them with his own soldiers. The following year, he used the same trick to capture Ulse, and in 1360, the king reconciled with the rebellious Jutland nobles. Of all Danish lands, only Scania remained outside Valdemar IV's control. It was under Swedish rule. But Sweden itself, then in union with Norway, was in turmoil. King Magnus IV had only recently regained his crown after a civil war against his elder son. Thus, Sweden was in no position to fight Denmark again. The Danes, therefore, occupied Scania almost without resistance. Many city garrisons opened their gates out of fear of King Magnus's wrath, against whom they had so recently fought. Valdemar did not stop at Scania. In 1361, he gathered a fleet and set sail for Gotland. Along the way, his forces landed on the island of Åland, which they captured swiftly. On Gotland, they faced the local militia. In the bloody Battle of Visby, nearly all of the island's defenders were killed. Afterward, the Danes stormed and captured the city, and soon the entire island came under their control. King Magnus IV of Sweden then appealed to the Hanseatic League, the confederation of German trading cities, for help. Gotland was a key logistical hub, and Visby was one of the League's trading partners, so opposing Denmark made sense. The following year, Valdemar IV received as many as 77 letters, each from a different city, declaring war on him. He mocked them, saying that 77 geese and 77 chickens mean nothing. And at first, it seemed the Danish king was right. The Hanseatic fleet invaded Denmark, but Valdemar IV crushed it in the Øresund Strait. In that battle, though, the king's only son was killed. The Hanseatic League remained the wealthiest power in the region at the time, controlling virtually all Baltic trade, and thus had the means to continue the war, unlike Denmark, which was chronically short on funds. The Hanseatic cities hired troops from among German, Swedish, and Baltic mercenaries. They avoided major battles, preferring instead raids and plundering expeditions. In 1368, these bands looted Copenhagen, then one of Denmark's richest cities. Moreover, the Hanseatic League allied with Holstein and Mecklenburg, both of which declared war on Denmark in hopes of seizing part of its lands. In the end, the Hanseatic cities simply financed a rebellion of Danish nobles against Valdemar IV, forcing the king to flee the country. In 1370, King Valdemar IV was forced to sign a peace treaty with the Hanseatic League in Stralsund. The Hanseatic merchants received numerous rights and privileges in their trade with Denmark, and most importantly for them, the right to interfere in the kingdom's internal affairs. When Valdemar IV died in 1375, the Danish crown passed to his young grandson, Olaf II. He was the son of the Norwegian king, and thus, in 1380, he also inherited the crown of Norway. In this way, the two kingdoms came under a single ruler. Throughout the Middle Ages, Denmark endured both civil wars and conflicts with its neighbors. Over this time, the small northern kingdom grew into a powerful feudal state of Europe. Its civil wars were relatively short and far less destructive than those of its neighbors. And although there were moments in the kingdom's history when it stood on the brink of collapse, Denmark nevertheless managed to assert its strength and preserve its borders. For that reason, this strongest of the Scandinavian countries played a leading role in the creation of the Kalmar Union. Denmark became the political center, around which the Scandinavian kingdoms united.